What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for checking out the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall. Super grateful for you guys being a part of this and listening to what will be one of our favorite shows that we've ever done. Not because we like the topic, but because this has caused us to research just an absolute ton. Man, over the last little bit, the firestorm that has been things happening in America. And so, man, I cannot do this alone. I have to bring in my best friend and yours, the black-bearded one, the man Marilyn produced, the greatest farmer of soybeans the world has ever seen, and a country music Hall of Fame legend to be. Everybody give it up for Kyle King.
Welcome in, everybody.
Kyle, everybody please calm down. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Kyle.
Man, what a ride it's been since last week.
I mean, man, there's been a lot going on. We talked about Driscoll.
Yeah, if you didn't catch the last episode, why don't you go check it out? It's pretty good.
Go check that out on Spotify and Apple and all the places that podcasts can get got.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great for you guys to go check out. Send it to Mark. I think it'd be good for him to have it. But you know what? Today, we answer...
It's another new controversy.
It's another new controversy, and I think we answer it with authority and with some power and with a whole bunch of certainty. Is Taylor Swift the Antichrist? That is the question that we answer today. Is that what people say?
Ooh.
I think we're about to answer that question about what's going on. Kyle, tell us what's been going on in the life of Taylor Swift just the last week. Tell us the series of events that have led us to use the platform to the tens to the millions of people that listen to our podcast. What's been going on?
Well, Taylor Swift is an American singer-songwriter.
Yep.
And she has released an album.
A double album.
A surprise.
A surprise.
Double album.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Tortured Poets Department anthology.
Yeah.
33 songs. And, I mean, as Taylor has done here, I mean, she's taking the world by storm.
I mean, yeah. Now, let's before we begin this, we need to do a disclaimer. Kyle, have you ever been a Taylor Swift fan?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever been to her concert?
Perhaps.
You've never been to a concert?
No.
I went to the 2011 Speak Now tour that came to Thompson Bowling Arena, where I went with a friend of mine named Parker. Me and him dressed up in white t-shirts that said, I am Taylor Swift. And then I went with... A young couple named Anthony and Aaron Kendall. And so we went to go see Taylor Swift back when she was country.
Yeah, I can. So my best friend growing up, shout out to Jordan Monk. He was obsessed with Taylor Swift, and she came to our little podunk town in Maryland. Well, not our little podunk town, but the town right next to us,
yeah,
which is close enough, back in 2007. And he went and got a few autographed pictures and gave me one.
You have an autographed picture of Taylor Swift?
I did, and I threw it out. So,
why would you do that?
Obviously, I didn't see how things were going to go.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what? She's going nowhere.
She made the switch to pop, and I said, she's done.
Yeah, her career is over. Yeah, way to go. And so
yeah, somewhere in a trash can is an autographed picture of Taylor Swift that has the 07 written on it. So that was 17 years ago.
That's like a rookie card.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Well, she has this new album that's come out, and it has caused a firestorm, not so much because of her, of anything else other than some of the lyrics. Not all the lyrics, but some of the lyrics. This Taylor Swift has not been one who is known not to curse or or to cuss in any way, shape, or form. She's had songs with that little E next to it before, but in 33 songs or 34 songs, she has quite a few that are littered with that expletive sign, that explicit sign with her songs, which is one thing. And then you have some of her lyrics that seem to be, as some would say, anti-Christian, just seem to be maybe not the best lyrics, especially raising the eyebrows of the evangelical world, who also have enjoyed and grown up with Taylor Swift. I've grown up with her. We're roughly the same age, and so she sang all the anthems of my high school career. Mm-hmm. And so, this is the difficult part. What do we do with the lyrics of these songs? Do lyrics matter? How should we respond? How should the church respond? What do we do with this?
Yeah, does God care what I listen to?
Right.
That's what we want to talk about today and figure it out.
And so a lot of this got started by one of our good friends and future podcast guests, Shane Pruitt.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Shane Pruitt, who, man, if I could get him today, I would love it. But he's scheduled for another time. He released a post on social media saying lyrics matter. And he begins to talk about how I'm not afraid of secular music. He says, however, there is a difference between being secular and being anti-Christian. For example, here are a few lyrics from Taylor's new album. And it just shares some of the, if you've been around this argument or know this argument, there's some lyrics that are a little bit disturbing, like from the song, But Daddy, I Love Him. It says, I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try to save you because they hate you. And there's other songs talking about their sanctimonious performing of soliloquies I'll never see, thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny. And it goes on to talk about how everything she's singing about is what the church has, some of it is what the church has done to her, that you can tell is obvious in her lyrics, but also of how there's just this rebelliousness in her of going like, I choose my own way. You don't have to pray for me. You don't have to do these things. I'm choosing to live my life my own way.
Yeah, another song mentions, you know, your God doesn't have to lift a finger. I can fix him myself.
Yeah.
There's an overall theme of resentment, maybe is the word. I mean, it's definitely gives the church hurt vibes.
Yeah,
and the irony in this is that the church is proving her exact point
by attacking her.
So, yeah. So
I think we answer this question first and foremost. Do lyrics matter? Like, just a quick question, because I have a lot of stuff to think about and say about Taylor Swift. Do lyrics matter? Just like stop there, because we're destroying Taylor Swift over lyrics. Now listen, I know that this is also the Poet Society or whatever it's called. There's a lot of poetry in this. Mm-hmm. Now, her usage of biblical and Christian images, poetry always communicates something, and she's even in this. And she is such an incredibly gifted songwriter.
Yeah.
She is painting exceptionally clear, using anti-church language in this poetry to describe something. And so, do lyrics matter to the believer? Should they matter to believers? Because here's the deal. Most of us are sitting here going, man, this goes against what we believe. This goes against the church. Yet, many of us will, like Motley Crue, or will like other secular music, a lot of country music, a lot of rap music that glorifies all the things that Jesus died for, mm-hmm. that we know, like the back of our hand, we can sing. You know what I'm saying? And so, do lyrics matter?
I believe they do, and that's what I wanted to kind of zoom out on this whole thing is I think this whole discussion is about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But I think that has maybe more to do with her platform and the massive amount of influence. Like, we're not sitting here talking about, you know, P. Diddy's latest album. Is that what he's called now? Or is it just...
Well, he was just arrested.
Oh.
He was just arrested for being a child predator.
I know. So we're not talking about any of that.
I mean, because, hey, listen, P. Diddy did that, and we can't even get... Taylor drops a double album, and it's like, oh, what did P. Diddy do? Ah, oh, don't matter. Taylor's
don't
back.
Matter. Taylor's talking about clutching pearls.
Yeah, and so, I think her influence matters in this, but I also think it leads to a greater discussion about what we allow into our brains anyways, what we allow into our hearts.
So there's the one argument that's out there in the train of thought of, as a Christian who consumes media of any kind, where do you draw the line?
Right.
I myself was sitting just this past Friday night at a Tim McGraw concert. I love country music. Tim McGraw was one of my favorite people.
Well, also, you're
up.
A country music artist, and yeah, so well, this is
Tim and I are basically.
I mean, did you sing same. To a crowd of tens to potentially twenties at the local eatery?
There was at least a dozen people there.
There's a dozen people there for you and Young King.
That was Thursday night, and then to be full circle in Thompson Bowling,
you mean the Food City Center or whatever.
Yeah, Food City Center. Sorry,
and so.
But anyway, so all that being said, like, are Tim McGraw's lyrics Christian? No.
No.
I don't even know if the man claims to be. He's a good guy, I think.
Yeah.
But in other words, what I'm saying is some people will draw that line saying, as a Christian, as a believer, you should never let anything into your ears except scripture from the audio Bible.
Yeah.
Or
Billy Graham sermons.
Billy Graham sermons or for King and Country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, and I've seen that.
And listen,
on that post you just read from Shane Pruitt, the comments are on the spectrum of comments,
yes.
And that shows how divided this has made the church, which is why this has become a podcast. The church is not divided on any. The church isn't divided on Tim McGraw, really. I don't think.
No,
but this has caused a firestorm because there are one side of the argument that says, and they truly believe this. They get on there and they say, well, as Christians, we shouldn't be listening to anything that's not Christian.
No.
Okay, I don't know if I hold all of that.
I don't. I think. Even in the world we live in right now, I listen to a lot of things that are non-Christian. One, because I learn a lot. I learn a lot about the world, and I learn a lot about people who don't follow Jesus. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, like The Cosmic Skeptic, and I listen to these different podcasts that aren't necessarily Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not necessarily sinful in the sense of, like, I'm getting these so I can live out my life faithfully in atheism, but it allows me to see what people who don't believe like me believe, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I try to remember in this discussion. Taylor Swift is an artist, and as we've said, I think she's a very gifted lyricist.
Unbelievable.
I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of her voice, never really have been. She's not a great singer, and that's what she always got knocked for in the country music world. Yeah. They were like, she can't sing, but she kept winning all these awards. I think she has a gift of being able to articulate in a very powerful way what a lot of people relate to, especially like young girls. I think that's why she's gained in popularity.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, so as an artist, she has created this work of art. I mean, and remember, it's called the Tortured Poets Department. And so, full disclosure, I listened to the album.
Yeah,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I listened to most of it too.
I got about 60% of the way through it. And it is sad.
Yeah,
it is. The whole theme of it. But that's the art. It's called the Tortured Poets Department. Like, I was expecting there to be some big anthem. I haven't got there yet. Yeah. I've listened to about 22 of the 33 songs.
Yeah.
And
she killed it when it came to matching up the theme to the title.
Yeah, so
you know?
she is painting this picture, and she is so articulate. The words, the lyrics, like, go check them out. And like, it's deep stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to do that to be able to get on here and talk, so I'm not just grabbing screenshots from other people who have gone and listened to it. I wanted to listen to it myself, and that's the overall theme. Is it's sad, it is melancholy, it is filled with
someone's broken.
Yeah, there's a lot of brokenness, and there's a lot of vengefulness, and again, Taylor Swift's kind of known for that.
Yeah,
and you can't just take one song out of context, because one of my favorite songs of all time Bad Blood. A little vengeful was Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats. Oh, like, yeah. That's a very vengeful song, but Carrie has a whole nother library of songs.
She was in Soul Surfer, so I think she's okay.
So, that's, I think what's interesting, and maybe as part of the discussion is this Taylor sharing and reflecting how she truly feels?
Yeah.
Or is this like a persona that she's putting on for the sake of this album? And I think that's worth discussing because there is a human being behind this.
Right, yeah.
And is this like a big cry for help from Taylor? I mean, there's a lot of songs of, there's a lot of drug use talked about. Yeah. And again, sometimes that's imagery, but sometimes it's like legitimate. That's what she's talking about.
And here's
about.
The deal. What have we always known to be true about Taylor? She always writes from, like, this is her. Like, I mean, her most famous songs of all time are all songs that are actually, I think Taylor writes from experience and writes from reflection, almost unlike anybody else. You know, like Tim McGraw, have Cherokee and Choctaw. Like, I don't know if he was really there. But Taylor, I mean, what she does is she writes from from this. And so even in what we saw, even in looking at this as a believer, I'm a dad too. I don't know if I let my kids listen to Taylor, even take this album out. I think there's fun songs, like we were just playing, Shake It Off, 22.
Song is a slam and scream door. That was my jam.
Absolutely. And there are some Taylor Swift songs absolutely I love and we'll listen to. But I think we have to also be careful and as parents, at least for me, of what we allow to influence our kids in all of this, because I think that there is some, you know, I don't think Taylor Swift's the enemy. I would say this, that my heart is not hurt by Taylor Swift because she makes this. I couldn't care less. I don't think she, I'm not mad at her. I'm not angry with her. But I also look at this and go, Taylor, like, or I look at my kids and go, man, I'm the parent of my kids. And that's one of the main things I've seen is I see parents going insane about this. Like, going insane. I think lyrics matter. I think we need to be careful and curate what we allow to go into our hearts and minds. If it overshadows and overpowers the Word of God, I think we're making a big mistake on whatever it is. I don't care if you're watching King of Queens. I don't care if you're watching American Idol. Like, whatever it is that you allow to saturate your brain is what your devotion and emotions and is going to go to. So I think that as Christians, we answer this question. I think lyrics do matter. I think how we spend our time matters. And I think what we allow into our brains and our hearts matter.
Yeah. Scripture speaks to guarding your heart.
Yeah.
For from it flows, like, whatever you input, you will output.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's also command. So that's the command to avoid things that are bad. But then there's the positive flip of that
is think
on these things.
Yeah.
Anything that's excellent or praiseworthy or true.
Yeah,
think on such things, and so there is that element to consider in all this.
And I agree, and I think about this, seeing all the comments, and I look at me being a parent. Listen, I love Taylor Swift. I love the concert, been to it. I just look at it and go, how do we handle this in such a polarizing world? I looked at some of the comments, and this is one of the scariest things, and I think that this can happen. I remember being at the Speak Now tour back in 2011 and standing in front of a girl who for the entirety of the concert wept. She wept the entire concert. And she was like, I love you. It's me. I mean, when we didn't have good seats, we were 400 miles away from the stage, and she was screaming.
But Taylor sees every single person out.
Listen,
there.
And she screamed, and like it was what I hope I have that much energy and devotion when I stand before Jesus as that girl did before Taylor Swift. Like, it was difficult. It was like, man, I didn't like to see that because it makes me uncomfortable when somebody gives that much adoration and glory to somebody else. And I think we just have to be careful. One of the things I saw was in the comments is how many comments started out with, hey, I'm a Swiftie. And then it would talk and it would mention their connection to Jesus like three paragraphs down after they roasted and took out of context almost everything the Bible says. Because that's one of the things I've seen the most is like, hi, I'm a Swiftie. And I would like you to know that God says don't judge nobody because judging people go to hell. So you shouldn't judge anybody. And Taylor is her own woman. And I go, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. But we also have to look at this and say, how do we handle this? How do we respond to this? Do I think Taylor Swift's the Antichrist, which is the topic of our podcast? No, but I do think we have to be understanding and map out for ourselves and for our families how we do this. And I also think that there are so many people who are so close to this that their first reaction is to defend Taylor Swift to the hilt, and their first reaction is to go, I'm a Swiftie. And there's an identity thing here, right, that this young lady has become for so many, even in the evangelical Christian world, to go, first off, I'm a Swiftie. I love her. And she is my, and I will defend her no matter what. I'm also a Christian. And I go, what are we talking about? No.
Yeah,
first and foremost, we are followers of Jesus. And this is the power of what Taylor Swift has as one of the greatest artists of all time and the most influential person on this planet. There's no wonder presidents and presidential candidates are going after her to try to get her endorsement. Because you get her endorsement, you get everybody in Kansas City and the world.
Yeah, and that's so, I think that's a big part of the discussion is the influence. So real quick, I mean, how long ago was this album released? It was Friday a week ago, yeah. So we're talking 10 days ago.
Yeah.
As of this morning, her record sits on top of the charts, number one in 13 different countries.
Yeah.
It has gained the record for the highest single-day stream for an album on Spotify. And to date, it has over 1 billion streams on Spotify in 10 days.
It takes us 2 weeks to get there.
I mean,
sometimes a month to get to a billion streams.
We're coming for you, Taylor.
Yeah.
In the United States, as of this morning, she sold 2.6 million albums in a week. And that's buying albums like the vinyls and cassettes were even listed as...
No. Listen.
As far as what goes into that statistic.
You got boomers sitting there going, I don't know where to get her, but I'm going to get the cassette.
I got the Taylor 8-track.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the second... Oh, my goodness, there's a double side.
And surprise album.
Man, there's people listening. I have no idea what a cassette tape is.
But she is... and I think, like I said, I think that's part of the discussion in this. I think there's also... And we talked about this briefly yesterday at church. Shout out to John McKay and Mallory LaFollette for our
pre-podcast convo. Yeah.
Helped us talk through some of this. Because when you're talking about Taylor Swift, you got to go to the Swifties.
Yeah.
And John McKay and Mallory LaFollette.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For your insight. But I think part of this is a little bit of a shock from the Christian world, because I think maybe we put too much faith in her to kind of be this influential. I think we put her on a pedestal that surprisingly and shockingly maybe we should not have.
Yeah.
And I say we as in I represent like, you know, Christian parents of, you know, Taylor 17 years ago was this bright-eyed, blonde-haired, all-American girl and had a lot of fun, upbeat songs that your kids could jam to, and it was great. And I think with that, it's like kind of this falling into this trap of let's just let Taylor Swift influence our kids and let's let her be the influence. And now their world is shattered because all of a sudden someone who is not a Christian is doing things that maybe aren't Christian-like.
Wait a second.
Or is there a twist in the plot?
I would like to submit evidence.
That's an argument that's been made, right?
Well,
this is a non-Christian making non-Christian music.
Yeah, listen, and if she is a non-Christian, then her music, listen, if she's just a lost person, let her be lost, right? And like, who cares? Like, that's what happened. She's not accountable to us, right? She has no responsibility to us. However, if she were to claim to be a follower of Jesus, then that would change things.
It would change things, wouldn't it, Dominic?
I would like to point everybody to a Netflix documentary. And this is one of the hard parts, too, is that we always grasp. I don't know about you. When I was in high school, I always had this unwritten moral rule that you should not date non-believers.
Don't be unequally yoked.
Yeah, don't be unequally yoked. I could never date a non-Christian. Well, I would just go up to a girl, and we live in the South. And I'd be like, hey, I know that you're probably not the right person to date. You a Christian? Sure. Okay, I think we're good.
Good.
I want to bring this up to you. This is one of the things that changed things for me in this conversation. Is a excerpt from a conversation that Taylor Swift was having with her team in 2020, around the time of the election. And she had talked about how she didn't speak out about politics back when Trump was first running. And now Marsha Blackburn is running in Tennessee, and she doesn't like that. She doesn't like what she stands for.
Yeah, this is 2018.
Yeah. And so she talks about being a woman in Tennessee and what all that means. And I think she says some interesting things.
She is a big deal. She votes against fair pay for women. She votes against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which is just basically protecting us from domestic abuse and stalking. She thinks that if you're a gay couple, or even if you look like a gay couple, you should be allowed to be kicked out of a restaurant. It's really basic human rights, and it's right and wrong at this point. And I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for.
And so that was Taylor Swift coming out in this moment and saying, when talking about politics and things that are going on, very impassioned, which awesome. Be passionate about things that you're passionate about.
Yeah, very passionate.
And for her to say, I need to speak out. Because this woman, the thing that got her was the policies, yes, but she's hiding behind these policies, claiming that these are Christian values. And Taylor Swift speaks with some authority here, at least it sounds like it, on behalf of the state of Tennessee, and says, I am a Tennessean.
Yeah.
I am a Christian, and these are not Christian values. Not only does she say that she's a Christian, she speaks on behalf of Tennessee Christians, saying that she understands and knows the pulse of Tennessee Christians. And, Kyle, you and I happen to be sitting here as Tennessee Christians.
I am a proud Tennessee Christian woman.
Working now. And so I think that changes things too, is that we also have a generation of parents who are looking at this going, you remember that time she claimed to be a Christian, we shouldn't judge her. And I think this is the hard part too, is that there are people who are banking on her salvation and her walk with Jesus and giving her all these slides as she is a Christian, because she mentioned it in a Netflix documentary. By the way, that was from Netflix. And so what do we do with this when we have a woman who is now creating and generating lyrics that if she is lost, we are okay with? Like if she's not claiming to be a follower of Jesus and she makes comments like this, I go, dude, get it. Like, I don't expect my non-believing artists to do believing things or to say theologically correct things.
Yeah, nor should we.
Yeah, that's not what they do. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. But she claims to be a Christian. And so if she claims to be a Christian, if she claims to be part of the fold, then we have a responsibility to go, like, this is not right. Like, what she has said, what the fruit of her life is, does not match with what she claims to be in being a Christian. So if she claims to be this, man, these lyrics are disturbing. As you just heard, that was from her. These lyrics are disturbing.
Yeah, and that certainly changes things. It changes the lens through which you view all this. Now, it's not, let me be clear, it's not our job on this podcast to judge someone's eternal play. That's not our job to figure out.
We're going to start another podcast that does that, called
goat or
saint
lamb.
Or ain't.
Hey.
Hey.
But yeah,
this is hard because when this is the proclamation, I'm a Christian. Now, there are a lot of people who will fill the very depths of hell who have claimed to be Christians for most of their lives.
Right. What is that, Matthew 19?
Yeah,
we did all these things in your name.
Did we not?
And Jesus
did we not
says,
do all these things in your name? He says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you, bro.
And we were listening to a much fuller version of that clip. We just didn't have time to play it all because of time. But, I mean, she made the statement about, first of all, how passionate she was. And secondly, she made this comment, I want to be on the right side of history on this.
Right.
And I think this is where her influence comes to... comes to the forefront is I think she represents a lot of people when she says that, and that's why she's so powerful and influential. There's a lot of people in the American South that believe they are Christians because of something that they're doing or because of a right action or because of this loosely
they're
held
born
belief
into it.
That,
or they like Daddy God, like up in the sky, and they like, you know what, I'm a Christian. And so I think that that's where this becomes dangerous, where we go, this young lady, she's older than I am, this woman in Taylor Swift has claimed to be a Christian and then has used imagery in her lyrics that if... I mean, I would have an issue if Elevation. I would have an issue with the Gettys. I would have an issue with Triumphant if they used lyrics like this. Mm-hmm. Because these lyrics, though you can say they are poetry and they are imagery, the imagery in which you've chosen to use stirs up vitriol and anger against the establishment of the church. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like there's this war, like, I'm a Christian, but I hate his church, or I'm a Christian of my own making, following a Jesus of my own making.
Yeah.
And I don't like what the American church has done. I don't like what the Jesus you follow, I hate. The Jesus I follow, who supports me, who supports what me and Travis do, who supports how I support abortion, who gives me the green light to say and to do whatever I want. That's the Jesus I like to follow. And I think that is a Jesus that I would be horrified to see, but I would truly believe that many more follow.
Yeah.
And I think that is the prevailing Jesus of America. And I think that's why we have to be so careful, because she does have influence. And as a parent, I look at that and go, golly, she has influence. Oh, but she's a Christian influence. You know, Taylor Swift overall is a good girl. And what's so sad is you're going to see parents who go, we love Taylor and Travis. We love Taylor and Travis. Oh, yes, we love Taylor. Oh, and we love what she does. Like, we love Taylor. We love Taylor. And, she's a Christian. You can't judge her. She's a Christian. I let my daughter listen to it. Now, it's the clean version. But I go, we are allowing so much influence from a person. Anybody who has greater influence in your life than Christ. Anybody whose name you would claim other than Christ and go, I'm a Swifty first. Like, anybody who you would do this to, anybody who you would allow to speak into your life that much above Christ should not have that position. Listen, my wife doesn't have that position. First and foremost, it's who Jesus is and his word. Like, that has to be it. And it's through that lens in which I'm able to see everything else. This, the album coupled with the proclamation, they don't match up.
Right.
And they can lead people astray. Like, that people can go, like, that's a Christian. I want to be a Christian like that. She claims to be with Jesus, yet she also sleeps with whoever she wants to. Golly, what a sweet life that you get salvation and you get to sleep around with anybody you want to. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to cuss and act just like the world. You don't have to act any different. Dude, Christianity's awesome. And I think that's where we have a hard
yeah,
spot.
I mean, it promotes that the lifestyle which is so popular today of you can a la carte your Christianity. You pick and choose the verses that you like and you can follow that. And then when the Word of God comes up against something that might be a little bit offensive to you,
don't
you label that as bigoted and hateful, and that's not my hashtag not my Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's another passage of scripture I wanted to bring into this too, and it's kind of in that realm of permissible, but versus beneficial. Yeah. And so this is not, while Taylor Swift may be new to the scene and music and wrestling with lyrics might be new to the scene, this overall idea has been around for a long time. And,
yeah.
and in Paul's day, it looked like this of food that had been sacrificed to idols, right? So the way the sacrificial system had been set up was that, you know, the priests, and when you sacrificed food on the altar to God, it became holy and people could eat that, but it was a sin to eat food that had been sacrificed to other gods, and that was rampant in the ancient culture. And so now there's this idea of these kind of hyper Christians saying, well, we shouldn't eat that non-Christian food, which is the parallel to we should never listen to non-Christian music, right?
Yep.
And so Paul makes the argument, hey, look, Christ has come and all things have been made new and he's created everything. And it's that that Acts chapter 10, rise, kill, and eat, you know, the things that weren't clean are clean now.
Right.
And so Paul makes this argument of he says in, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things right. are lawful, but not all things built up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor.
Right.
So there's this idea, I think, of, you know, it's not our job to sit here and tell you what you can and can't listen to, but we do want to urge wisdom. We want to urge, discernment.
Yeah.
Like, what is building up? And this is one of the discussions we had yesterday. I mean, let's be real. If you are listening to this album of Taylor Swift
right.
and it begins to like rock your faith and you're just suddenly doubting everything and you're believing everything she says, your faith was in the wrong thing.
Right. Like,
let's be
right.
real. Like you should be able to listen to this as a mature believing adult. In other words, it's permissible. It's not a sin if you listen to this.
Right.
It's not even a sin if you get like the artistic entertainment value. If you can Absolutely. Look at that and appreciate the art, then that's fine. I think what we're urging against is because it's so popular, because the whole world is literally listening to this, the vast majority, I think, are not looking at it through discerning eyes,
right.
and they are taking what Taylor presents as gospel truth, and they are modeling their lives after her, and I think it's we're just here to speak out into that.
Right, and I agree, and I look at this and go, dude, I don't care if you're a Fox News, CNN person, you got to be discerning what you take in. I think in what you watch, if you watch Yellowstone or Game of Thrones and you're like, nope, I think this is okay. And I go, golly, I mean, like, I have a struggle more with that than I do listening to this album. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that we have to be so uber careful in what we both intake, but also what we promote. Because I'll tell you right now, I've seen nothing but social media posts from young ladies and from people that I follow who I go, man, there's going to be somebody who watches you promote this and go, dude, this is somebody who I know who is a Christian, who loves Jesus, who's promoting this.
Right.
This must be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there has to be wisdom. I think there has to be sermon in all of this. And I think this, Taylor Swift is not the enemy, right? She's not the enemy. She's not the Antichrist. I don't think our heart needs to be mad at Taylor for doing this. My heart hurts for Taylor because when I look at her lyrics, one, I see the lyrics about the church. And there's a whole bunch of people who are like, that's not how the church is. Sadly, listen, that's how a lot of the church is.
Yeah, let's call the spade a spade.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've grown up in it. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I've talked to too many people who that's how the church has responded, that these holier-than-thou people, void of the love of Jesus, clutching their pearls, looking at and going, oh, like bless her heart, like she'll never be anything. Like she's just, and I've seen the brutalness and the brutality of the church, and we have to own up to some of that. my heart hurts for Taylor because if we're only looking at fruit,
yep.
My heart hurts that she doesn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know the love of Jesus. She's been marred by the brokenness of his church mm-hmm. and the broken people within his church who have some sort of generational Christianity and not a saving Christianity, who have not been redeemed by Jesus, who've not shown the love of Jesus. My heart hurts for Taylor. My heart hurts for her that the Jesus that she is bought into did not die on a cross. The Jesus that she buys into could never raise from the dead. The Jesus that she ascribes to affirms all of her sin and dies for none of it. And the Jesus that she affirms is so flippant that he changes even from what his word says. He will acquiesce to our desires and our needs. The saddest part about this is not her lyrics. It's that she has a disordered affection towards a Jesus that never existed. And so I think that's my, when I come away from this, I don't get mad at Taylor and want to go post about Taylor. I'm sad for her.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest takeaway from the three quarters of the album that I've listened to, or 60% or whatever yeah. it is it paints the picture of someone who is searching for something and she can't quite find it.
Yeah.
It's not in drugs, it's not in sex, it's not in revenge.
Yeah.
Those are the three biggest themes throughout the whole album, yeah. and it just comes away as tortured poet, that someone's going through angst and you're trying to write it out and put it into beautifully crafted lyrics, but it's...
trying to find purpose and
she's
and
not finding the purpose in the answer.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's a sad thing, because we know what that answer is. We know what's going to fill yes. that void in her life, and
she's,
it's Jesus.
She's been in places, from at least the lyrics, she's been in places where the answer was there. The book was open. Mm-hmm. But yet the people, and that's the hardest, you know, what is it, Gandhi? Or the Dalai Lama. One of them said, I like your Jesus. I just don't like your
people. I don't
people.
Like his people. Yeah. yeah.
And so maybe this could be a reminder for everybody who's listening. What do? One, I think we curate. We need to be legalistic in what we allow into our minds. I think we first and foremost need to be people of the book, listening, loving, reading his word. I think that should be the main thing.
Yeah, get the priorities in order. If you know the lyrics to this album better than you know your Beatitudes,
yeah.
Better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I'll tell you, Roll Tide. Listen, I'll tell you right now, and this is Colossians 1, where that his great desire, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae saying, my greatest desire for you is that you would know Christ and that he would be preeminent in everything.
Come on.
That he would be preeminent in everything. And so I think I can listen to Taylor Swift comments, if Christ is preeminent in my life, and I can see them rightly. Mm-hmm. But if not, man, I would pause everything. Unplug the Netflix. Get off the Spotify account. Like, stop it. And be recalibrated to Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus and you see this, do not be filled with hate and vitriol towards Taylor Swift. You can disagree with what she says. You can be... you can be broken about the fact that so many people listen and she has such a great influence. Listen, instead of your prayers being against Taylor Swift, man, pray that God would show her the goodness of who he is and that she would meet the Jesus of the Bible and not this this weak-willed junk Jesus that she currently claims and speaks on behalf of all Tennesseans. And so let's make sure that we pray for Taylor Swift. I know that's weird, and I've always thought that was weird to be able to do so, but we pray for Taylor Swift. Man, I cannot wait. And not like a Kanye thing where he was Christian for 15 minutes and then came back and said, like, I was asking God to do stuff and he didn't do it, and so I'm doing it myself. Man, what a beautiful end to this story, that she releases an album finally finding love, not in all the men, not in all the praise, not in all the things, but man, I pray for the day one day she releases an album that's nothing but praise to Jesus. Like, that's what I look for. That's the end in this. It's not that she gets destroyed by a whole bunch of church folk, but rather she gets loved by a whole bunch of Christians, and she sees and experiences the love of Jesus that surpasses the love of anything else and the emotions and the feelings and of anything else that would come up. And so that's my prayer. And I hope that for you listening, that is your prayer as well. Kyle.
And another word I would say for, so that's on the individual level. Again, we know there's some parents listening to this, and that is a different level. That's a different ball game. But hey, use this as an opportunity to have these discussions with your kids.
Yeah.
You don't just shield them from it for no apparent reason, because that's the boogeyman out there.
Yeah.
Listen to it together. Talk about why these lyrics are troubling and talk about why you would rather them not listen to this, and then make sure we're overpowering that with family worship time and listening to worship songs in the car. And then when these songs come up, you can't go through your whole life with earmuffs on, you know, blocking out anything that might not be sinful. So have the discussions with your children.
And I think these are good moments, because parents, you are in charge. You are the chief disciple of your kids.
You are the shepherd over your home.
Listen, it's not the church's job. It's not the school's job. It's not Taylor Swift's job. It's your job. And so use these moments to speak truth and life into your kids. These are the things that we've talked about, these everyday moments in life events that we can take to utilize, and sow back in the truth of the gospel into the lives of our kids. Because here's the deal. If you just leave your kid alone and hope that the church is going to, the hour the church has with them, your kid's going to be loving Jesus. Dude, no. It's got to be modeled at home. And if you go, well, listen, I'm going to let them listen to whatever they want. Indoctrination happens by default or by design. And if you're not intentional, Taylor Swift and the music industry, the government, the left, the enemy is glad to disciple your kids for you. And so use this as an opportunity. Pray for Taylor Swift. Pray for the influence that she has. And also just be careful with what we listen to. Is that good?
That's great.
Well, listen, guys, like always, we are grateful for you. We're thankful for the time that you spend listening to us. We're not experts on everything, but we like to at least bring out this for discussion. So feel free to reach out, Instagram and Facebook at Here's the Deal. We'd love to have a follow-up conversation with you. Share this with somebody and be interested to hear what you guys have to say. Tune in next time for the Here's the Deal podcast.